Ahead and have a seat. Our theme scripture over the next few weeks comes from Matthew chapter 28, and I want to read it in a couple different translations, a couple different Bibles, and just to set the tone for what we're really talking about as we talk about this idea of the church has left the building. It goes like this: Jesus came to them and said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have told you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world." Let me just read a different translation of that. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age." So here's the question, as we start this morning, is what is the church? Like, how do you define the church? How do you view church? And so if someone said, what church do you go to, or what is the church? Some of you would say a location. Well, the church in Big Flats, the church on Maple Street, the church in that building that's kind of newish. You know, you kind of define the church by building, and that's not a bad definition, but that's not necessarily the correct definition of how we define church either. Some would do it by who the pastor is. And so, Pastor Schooley is the pastor of that church. The leadership is this, the staff is this. So it's defined by the pastor. And I'm sure that's a okay description, but it's not the definition of the church. Maybe it's what they do. Oh, that's the church that does the chicken barbecue, or that's the church that does this in youth ministry, or that's the church that has this part of it. And that's partially true. We do those things, but that doesn't make or break a church. Maybe it's defined by someone that attends it. Oh, that's the person that this person goes to. That's their church. But I want to lean into what really is the church. Like, if you really looked at the definition or the view of Scripture on the church, the assembly, the family, the group, what defines it? And really, it breaks down to two parts. One part is the gathered church. All right, does that make sense? We're gathered together. We're spending time together. It's like we're gathering. And so there's lots of things that happen when we gather together. We pour into each other. We care for each other. We do discipleship. We worship God. We're like, oh, God, you're incredible. We celebrate stories together. We gather together so we can almost have God pour into us. And to be able to serve each other and build community. And so that's the gathered church. And a lot of churches, a lot of people stay gathered. And there's probably reasons why we stay gathered. Maybe it's because our culture, we think our culture is crazy and we're more protected if we gather and stay there. Or maybe it's just more comfortable that way. Or maybe that's just the way we grew up. We grew up in a gathered church that we always are in this setting. The church is this. The church meets in a building. The church has a pastor that preaches to them. Has a worship team, has Sunday school, has youth programs, has children's programs. And in fact, you use a lot of these terms when you're looking for a church. You're like, all right, what services, what things do they do for me? And all that's good. Gathering is good. God in the New Testament talks about gathering. And be like, what, we are the gathered. There's some beautiful things that happen when we gather. In fact, Jesus, when he's talking to the disciples, says, "Come, follow me. Come, gather with me. Come, hang out with me. Come, spend time with me." So, gathering is critical. But if you just stayed gathered and never do the second part, then we're not fully the church, because there's a phrase that he says, "Come, follow me," and I will make you fishers of men. Or as we read in this scripture, as he's poured into these disciples year after year, 3 years he's poured into them. He says, "Therefore, I have all authority," which I love that phrase. "I have all authority in heaven and on earth," which means I have everything in my power. I can do whatever I want. I have authority right here, right now. And my authority tells me that I want to do this to you. I want, now that we've gathered, I want to scatter you. I want to send you. And there's this little word that you'll see throughout all of Scripture, but especially in that one, it's this word called go. Go. The church, as God has built it, is a church that gathers and scatters. It's a church that comes and then goes. It's a church that like is fed, is filled up, and then pours out. It's a church that people are blessed and then they bless. It's a both and. And so over the last couple months, we've had a couple mission teams that have obviously gathered. They've spent time meeting together. They have poured into each other. They're part of our family, a part of our church. So they have gathered, and now they have gone out, and they have gone to do the calling that God has put on them. And so I just wanted to invite them up. We'll start with the Honduras team and have them share, and then we're going to have the Ecuador team share. Just about their trips.
All right. Good morning, everybody. So most of you probably don't know who I am. My name is Lester Longenberger. I'm relatively new to Higher Hope. Let's see. There we go. I started coming to Higher Hope probably 8 months ago or so. Like Pastor Mike said, the Honduras team, we got back a week ago, a little over a week ago, after 10 days down in Tegucigalpa. And this was my third trip going, my second time going with Al. And every trip is different. It's a different experience. You do different things, you learn different things, and you grow in different ways. In this trip, and I won't spoil too much for tonight to try to get you guys to come back later to see us present tonight, but as I started coming here, everybody was talking about your one word, right? And while I was down there, it kind of just hit me right in the face what my one word is. And so I'll talk about that tonight. But on this trip, you know, we were a small team. We only had seven of us. And, you know, we could talk about the work and, you know, the seven of us somehow coming together and building all these walls, moving all this block, mixing all this cement, all this mud, doing all this hard manual labor. But one, it wasn't really all that hard, so if that scares you, don't worry about that. And two, that's not really what these trips are about. Yeah, we're there to do the work, but we're also there to do other things and grow in other ways. And it's kind of funny that Pastor Mike mentioned how Jesus asked his disciples to come follow him, because that was a verse that really spoke to me. Luke 5:1-11, I believe, really spoke to me that week, and how, you know, they drop everything and go and follow Jesus. And that's what we, you know, had to do to go down there, is, you know, give up our time with our family, give up our time at work, give up our, you know, being comfortable, and, you know, step out there and go and do something for the good of God and to glorify his name. And so the things that really, you know, affected me on this trip weren't the work, it was the fellowship and getting to know and build relationships with the people on our team and also the people in Honduras. You know, I don't speak any Spanish, and I probably will never be able to. It's not something I'm good at. But, you know, working alongside these Honduran guys, not able to communicate at all except through, you know, looks and fellowshipping in, you know, nonverbal ways, is an amazing experience. And then we took a trip out to a squatters community about an hour and a half outside of the capital city, and this was my first time going out there, and that was probably one of the most powerful things to witness in my entire life, going to this community that is full of people who literally have nothing. Their houses are built out of, you know, pieces of metal leaning against each other with a garbage bag for a roof. And they own absolutely nothing. And so because of your help, because of this church's help, we were able to go outside the walls of this church and go down there and make a difference in the lives of those children with, what, 14 duffel bags full of kids' shoes, hundreds of pairs of children's shoes. And we spent a whole afternoon out there measuring all these children's feet and giving them a pair of shoes. And this one girl, I remember, came up to me, and she was with her dad, and she came up and she hugged me and thanked us for this little pair of shoes that we gave her, this used pair of children's shoes, which, you know, doesn't really seem like a lot. But to that girl, that's the only thing in the world that she has now. And she was so grateful for that, and her father was so grateful for that. And, you know, seeing how happy those kids were, that's God working through us and through this church to really affect the lives of people elsewhere. They didn't have anything, and now they have something that they can say, this is mine. I can go to school with these shoes now. I can play with my friends with these shoes now and forget about, you know, not having anything else. And just the opportunity to get to go grow closer to God and fellowship and worship together. The church doesn't have to be inside the four walls. It's about going out there and making a difference in people's lives and affecting people through the Word of God. And so having the opportunity to do that is one of the greatest pleasures of my life, and you all helped make that possible. So to put a little plug in for tonight, if you want to hear more from the rest of the team, please come and hear more and hear these stories about how we're leaving the church to go and spread the Word of God. Thank you.
I'm going to have the Ecuador team, the people sharing for Ecuador, come on up, and they'll be sharing as well. I'm not sure who exactly. No, it should be on.
Good?
Was off. Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Scott Cable, and we were part of the group that went down, and Debbie French is with me. And we're just going to, you know, touch a little bit on what was really impactful to us on this Ecuador trip. For me, it was the construction component of the trip. We spent a lot of time at orphanages, and we spent time working with this particular family down in Pisalí. And I'm really thankful that Steve and Lisa took the time to challenge Oswaldo and Denise to come up with an idea for construction. And this was, my understanding, the first construction project. Is that right, Steve? First construction project for this effort down in Ecuador. So the challenge was find a family that's deserving of a construction project. And we met Jorge and Karina. So picture this. You and six of your closest family members living in 10 foot by 10 foot. That's every day, every night. And when they were approached, they didn't want the gift of more space. So Oswaldo and Denise worked with them and convinced them. Karina's involved in the jewelry program that you've all purchased from, so thank you for that. And $5,000 is a lot of money, but not in the U.S. $5,000 might upgrade your next vehicle, it might put part of a roof on your house. But for Karina and Jorge, it changed their lives. It quadrupled their living space. They have running water. They have a kitchen. The kids have rooms. They have a shower. And maybe the best part of being a part of that was that house is now fortified with God, because I think we crammed about 24 verses in all the blocks as they went up, which was pretty good. And for me, the real takeaway was just how blessed of a country we are. Clearly my first missions trip, you can tell. We don't even know. You have to see it. So, I didn't even get to the hard part yet. on the last day we all met together, and Jorge had written a letter, written a letter, and there wasn't a dry eye. Just the impact. And, you know, it was touching as touching. And then for him to say, when you come to Ecuador, you have a home. You can stay with us. So I guess I didn't realize it, but I got a timeshare out of the deal. But it was very moving, and just so thankful for how God has provided for us. So thank you for your support for Jorge and Karina. Really an amazing situation.
Hello. Some of you don't know me. I'm Debbie French. I've been coming to Higher Hope, my family and I, for just over a year now. When Steve came and talked about going on a trip to Ecuador, that Sunday I immediately knew that I was supposed to go on this trip. I'm very emotional, sorry. I went home, I talked to my husband, and I said, I want to go on this trip. God provided for me to be able to go on this trip. I prayed before I went on this trip that God would use me and use our team in a way that could make an impact on the people that we saw every single day. Scott touched on the construction. It was amazing. I grew up, my dad was a contractor. I know how to hammer a nail, and about that's about it. We have Speedy Nikki on our team. I was on her team for the day of construction. But I think what impacted me the most is we did a retreat for young girls in the Pisalit area. These girls come from homes that are not great homes. We were able to spend the whole entire day with them. We broke up into small groups. We worked with them on trust. We worked with them on team building. We overcame as teams things that we could not do. I have a horrible fear of heights, but I attempted the ropes course because I wanted these girls to see that just because you're afraid to do something doesn't mean that if you put your foot forward, you can do anything. I left that day. We had a worship. At the end, we had a worship team. We got to worship with these girls, and the Holy Spirit was there. It was so powerful, the Holy Spirit there. We got to pray over these girls. The language barrier, I do not speak any Spanish. My youngest daughter tried to teach me a few words. I could not pick anything up, but it didn't matter. Just the love, hugging them, they could feel the love that we had. I left that day. I cried the whole entire trip back, knowing that, you know, we went to orphanages, but these orphanages had a place that they were fed, they had shelter, they were loved. But these girls, I didn't know what they were going home to. We saw girls taking food, because we fed them a few meals, taking food and wrapping it up in napkins because either they were saving it for a meal for later on, or they were taking it home to somebody that wasn't there that they would be able to feed them. But knowing that I have teenage girls and I minister to these, that was the hardest thing for me, leaving these girls. And knowing that I didn't know what their living situations were, but then I have girls back here in the U.S. that every single day they get fed 3 meals, 4 meals, 5 meals. They have shelter, they have the clothing that they want, they have the education that they need. But just my love poured out to them that I had only hoped that what I left behind with them would impact them to better themselves. We did go to some orphanages, and the first orphanage we went to, I took a little girl to do some coloring. And the next thing I know, I have a group of kids surrounding me wanting to color. They weren't coloring for themselves, they were coloring for me. I left Ecuador with 20 to 30 pictures. These kids, put on there that I was their best friend, that you know, one little girl would not leave my side. She kept, I think I have 5 or 6 pictures from her, and it's always pictures of a house, because that's what I drew, because I'm not the artist in the family, so I drew a house, but they all wanted to draw houses, but she drew a house with hearts, with her name, and then she asked me to write my name, and just knowing the impact that we left behind, it just, the two things that we talked about today just doesn't even cover it. We grew so much as a team. I have lasting friendships. And I just encourage all of you tonight to come back and hear more of our story. It's going to be emotional. We did a lot of crying. We had every night at the end of the night, we always talked about our high or low and our God moment. And, you know, we saw changes within our team, too. You know, some people who might have been, you know, a little apprehensive about coming to the trip, you know, God really filled them. So I really thank you all for your support, your prayers. It was an amazing time. So thank you.
You know, the church is designed to gather. It is. There's some special thing. You can even hear it. Could you not hear it in their mission talks, their talks about their group and their formation of the times that they shared together and the times that they worshiped together and the times that they prayed together and the all leading up to it? There's a community. There's a relationship that happens in the gathering, but there's also something that happens in the community and in our lives when we scatter, when we go. But let me read that verse to you again. Therefore, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you to the very ends of the age. Do you hear the front and back? Let me. It's a sandwich, okay? You can picture a sandwich. He starts with, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I can do what I want. I have this plan in place, and I have authority. I can do what I want. And he follows it that the back piece is, and I'm going with you. All right, I have authority, and I'm going with you. In the middle part, he gives us our commission, what he asks us to do. Therefore, go. All right, just stop there. We are, as a church, we are not fully the church in this building. We are only partially the church in this building. When we're discipling, we're only partially the church. We're not fully there until we learn what it means to go. To actually, the phrase is as you go. I mean, you may go to Ecuador, you may go to Honduras. This summer, I'm taking my son and 13 other kids to Dominican Republic. You may go overseas, but even if you don't go overseas, you're called to go. As you go. As you go into work tomorrow, as you go into school, as you go playing baseball or going to baseball, whatever you're doing, as you go, you have a mission. So we are called to leave the church. The church is designed to leave the building. The building is not the definition of the church, but this is the gathering place. This is the home base. This is the place where we challenge and encourage to go make disciples. Now that takes, this is what I'm going to call it today. Go bring the kingdom. Go, you know, you heard the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done, your kingdom come. You know, and throughout the Gospels, you'll hear this phrase, the kingdom, the reign of God. Like what you picture when God is completely on his throne, when he decides to make everything right, that's his kingdom, when he's reigning. Where he's not reigning, where he's not in control, that's not his kingdom, all right? So he says, he's praying. When we pray, thy kingdom come, your reign, what your reign would look like, come. And the way he brings about his kingdom is, guess what? The church. God has chosen the church to bring the kingdom to our world. Now, the kingdom has a lot of different dimensions to it. There's the verbal dimension. There's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, what he wants to do in individual lives, the things that you hear. There's the things that you see. Like, we are supposed to bring the kingdom by how we live, by the way we carry ourselves, the integrity that we have, the way we serve our character. We model the kingdom, but then we also give the kingdom. We share the kingdom. We give little glimpses. Again, I use this all the time, and you're probably sick of hearing this. But you ever go to Sam's Club and have those tasters, all right? Those little pieces of cheese, those little pieces of ham, the little pizzas. You know, you're walking through. Some of you don't eat before you go to Sam's Club. You go there to eat. You know, you're like, I'm gonna have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You have the little stick. You throw it away. The taster is so that you want the whole thing. Right, so you have a little DiGiorno pizza on a little stick, right? It doesn't fill you up. It should make you, what they want you to do is make you want to buy the three-pack of pizzas, right? The cheese, you're not gonna get filled by a piece of cheese, but you want the rest of the block. You know, you want the whole thing. What I'm saying is as we go, we bring the kingdom, and we do it with little tasters. We're not going to bring the whole justice of God. We're not that big. We're not that important. We're not that smart. But we can bring tastes of the kingdom. A pair of shoes is not the full-fledged kingdom of God, yet it's a little taste of God's goodness to this little girl. Building a house is not the fullness of God's kingdom for this person. God has a lot more planned for that family. And yet it's a little taste so that they'll be like, man, I want the whole thing. It's a way for us to bring the kingdom. We are called to leave the church and then in our communities, in our southern tier, in the what they call it, the valley. I don't even know if we're in a valley, whatever. This area, this church, Higher Hope, is called to bring the kingdom, leave little tests, little tastes all through the region. You know, there's this phrase that I've heard recently, and it might be new to you, but it's an important phrase. It's called gospel saturation. All right. You know what saturation is? Saturation is when you have a towel and you get it so wet that it can't hold any more water. The towel is saturated. All right, it's like it can't hold anymore. What we're aiming for as a church, what we're aiming for as the churches, hopefully the majority of the churches in this area, is gospel saturation, kingdom saturation. We want this southern tier to be so full of gospel experiences, kingdom experience. Does that make sense? Like there's little tastes everywhere. They're like, God is moving. There's people who are experiencing little pieces of the kingdom every day because of the people who have left the building. Like put it, the gospel saturation is this, that every person, woman, man, and child, have had a taste and many tastes of the kingdom over the next couple years. That's gospel saturation. Unfortunately, the church likes to gather, but it has a hard time scattering. You know, the church has been defined by the worship style and not by what they do, how they bring the kingdom. The church is defined by their pastor and not by the people who are bringing the kingdom. The church is defined by a location, a building, and what it looks like, rather than what kingdom they're bringing to their world. We are called to come and follow. Like, he wants you to grow. He wants to pour. He has things for you. He wants to bring healing to your life. He wants to do a work in you. But come and follow me, and I will make you. He will do a work in you so that you can be fishers of men, or you can bring the kingdom. And that's, this series is really about us learning or developing this ability, this way about us that brings the kingdom. And so you can go ahead and take your envelopes. This is a small little thing we're doing this week. Open it up, pull whatever's out, whatever's in there out. You have some sort of dollar bill in there. Some will have 50s, some will have 20s, some will have 10s, some will have 2s. I guess there's 5s in there too. All right, listen. I know this is not a major sum of money for all of us. I mean, it's a piece of money. Well, we are giving you this money as a steward from God, really, to bring the kingdom in some way. This is not for you to spend at McDonald's today. If you have a 5 or a 10, you can't spend it on that anyway. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to be prayerfully, this week, you're prayerfully ask God, this is the stewardship you've given me. You give whatever it is. You know, different denominations of money. It might be the 50, it might be a $2 bill, or it might be a $5 bill. I want you to be prayerfully say, God, you have given me this gift. I want to bring the kingdom. Show me where I can bring the kingdom. I want to use this. I want to see you use this in some powerful way. I'm seeking you in this. All right, God. Just let me. You're going into the coffee shop on Dunkin' Donuts. You're going through the drive-thru. You're praying. God, is this the day I'm going to use this to buy a coffee for the person behind me? You might be going into Meniere's and be like, all right, God, who here needs a taste of the kingdom? Help me. Maybe it's M&M's. Maybe it's a drink. Maybe you're buying lunch for somebody. Maybe you want to use that money plus a little bit of your money and say, all right, I'm gonna multiply this a little bit, and I'm gonna bring the kingdom. Now, there's this other denomination that's special to our family. It's a $2 bill. My grandfather loved giving out $2 bills for Christmas time. Like, we get a bunch of $2 bills. And the $2 bill, I don't know about you, but I don't carry $2 bills very often. They're kind of rare in our lives. We don't like to spend, a lot of us don't like to spend $2 bills. $2 bills for us this morning are a way of appreciation, because people just don't need a gift. Sometimes it's shoes. Sometimes it's something physical. Sometimes it's just appreciation. Sometimes it's just honor. Do you know what I mean by that? Sometimes people just need to be seen and said, hey, you're important. And so the $2 bill for us is as valuable as the $50 bill, because it shows honor. It shows what, you know, just as a $2 bill is rare and we don't use it very much, and we kind of hold it differently than some other bills, we give this away as a way of saying we honor you. I know it's not the amount, it's that we appreciate you and we see you. And whether they're serving behind a McDonald's stand, we appreciate who you. You know how much that matters to people, appreciation and honor? That's more valuable than a coffee sometimes. You know, maybe it's someone that you're working with, someone that does some little things around, and you're like, man, I just want to honor you. You do a really good job. I just appreciate you. And this is, this $2 bill is special to me. I just want you to know what you're doing is special. It matters. And again, you're doing the same thing. You're praying, asking God, who do you want me to honor with this $2? You may think, I only got a $2 bill. And don't we do that in life? Like, man, I'm not as smart as Scott with the engineering thing and building thing. And Debbie, she's like all compassionate. And you know, you're like comparing yourself to these people. Like, I'm not them. And you're not. But God is brilliant, because you're not them for a purpose. You know, you have different gifts that you're bringing to the kingdom. You know what I mean? When you leave this place, you are bringing something that's special, it's different. You're honored. And so as we walk through this series, we're going to have different projects, different things that we want you to do, because hearing a message is not scattering. It's actually doing it. And so last thing, all right, and we'll have the worship team come up. Do you not love to hear the stories of the Honduras and Ecuador team? I mean, isn't that part of the fun part of them coming back and just hearing how God has changed them and how God has used their little acts of service in powerful ways? We want to do the same thing with your $2 bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill. We'd love to hear your stories. And so, you can share it on our Facebook page. You can email me. You can just do the hashtag thing. You know what the hashtag thing, right, is? I was trying to come up with a cool hashtag. I don't have a cool one. But we're just going to do Higher Hope Bless, or something like that. All right, just Higher Hope Bless. You familiar with this idea? All right. I want us to share the story together of how God, because God takes the little and does incredible things with it. And I think whether it's a $2 bill or $5 bill, I think God has some plans for us this week that hopefully is a spark to see God do something amazing in our community in the Southern Tier. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you see these envelopes that we're holding, from the teenagers in here to the kids in the high five area, to the adults in here. These envelopes, we give these to you, that they are yours. And so I pray that you'll use us bring the kingdom in our area. God, give us your eyes, give us your ears, help us to listen to you, help us to use the right words when we do it, help us to find the right person. And God, may we have stories of how you have worked and are working in these little acts of kindness, these little acts of honor, these little acts of serving. God, help us to go and help us to bring the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.